him, not to fight.
Sorry, Jesse, but I'm tired of him bullying people.
Ooh, tough guy.
Can't you two be friends? You're both in the same class.
I don't need a too good for everybody else for a friend.
Get away from the railing. Somebody's gonna fall.
Are you gonna leave Jesse alone? Quit picking on my friends.
No, I'm gonna settle things with you.
Jesse!
I didn't mean to knock him over the railing.
Jesse, I'm gonna fall.
Jonathan, take my hand.
Jesse, you're too light.
Help him, Rusty. You're stronger.
No way. I'm out of here.
Rusty, come back here before he falls.
Jesse, get someone else. I don't know how long I can hold on.
Is Jonathan about to fall? Why were Jonathan and Rusty fighting at the Santa Fe Museum of Ancient Art anyway? To find out, join the adventure in Jonathan Park and the Clue from Nineveh. While Rusty's attack on Jonathan and Jesse seemed harsh, there are several events that led up to that day's visit to the museum. Jonathan's adventure actually began a few days earlier in Mr. Benefusio's science class, while Rusty was presenting a science project.
Go on with your report, Rusty.
Anyway, Mr. Benefusio, he was a tadpole when I caught him. But now you can see he has frog legs.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good, Rusty. Now tell the class why you chose this for your biology project.
Because you've been teaching about evolution.
That's not evolution.
Jonathan, this is Rusty's turn.
Sorry, sir.
It is too evolution, isn't it, Mr. B?
Well, I can understand why it would look that way, Rusty. But actually... Yes, Jonathan. What is it?
I can explain why it isn't evolution.
Good for you.
Take it easy, Rusty. All right, Jonathan.
Because tadpoles turn into frogs all the time. But we don't see apes turning into people when they grow up.
That's correct. The DNA code of a tadpole already determines that it will become a frog. Whereas in the case of apes, no ape has ever changed into a human during his lifetime. Instead, ape-like creatures were the ancestors of humans.
Not according to the Bible.
We're not discussing the Bible, Thad. We're talking about science.
My dad says science and the Bible go together.
My dad says that too.
And Eddie, he's entitled to that viewpoint. Anyway, Rusty, what we see right now with your changing tadpole could be called growth or even metamorphosis, not evolution. Thank you, Rusty. You may take your seat now. Okay, who'd like to be next?
Why don't we have the expert go next?
That's fine with me.
Well, maybe you should, Jonathan. It'll give you a chance to use up some of that excess energy.
Okay. Instead of an amphibian, I picked a reptile. I brought my pet lizard with me.
He probably thinks his lizard was a tadpole once.
Okay, but the purpose of this assignment was to show us something interesting or unusual about nature.
Yeah, and lizards are only interesting to my cat. He eats them.
Rusty, your next comment will send you to the principal's office. Understood?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Jonathan. What is it about this lizard that you find so interesting?
He's going to show us a miracle.
Excuse me?
My lizard's going to prove that miracles happen.
Yes, Ruth?
Principal Lou Phipps from Painted Dunes Elementary School is on line one.
Thank you, Ruth. Superintendent Brussel here. How can I help you?
Now, what kind of a greeting is that? He used to call me Lou. Aren't we on a first-name basis anymore?
We never were on a first-name basis.
Well, not originally, no. But after I bailed you out of that little crisis and saved your job, I would say we got pretty chummy after that, don't you agree?
I'm giving you to the count of one to get to the point.
Ouch, Barry! You need to relax.
That's all. I'm finished.
Hang up the phone and you will be finished.
I knew you'd never be satisfied.
Just a little more hush money.
You couldn't have spent it that fast.
Oh, you'd be surprised. There's mortgages and car payments, braces for my girls. You know what an orthodontist charges these days? Well, you remember what it was like before you figured out a way to get richer. Just share the wealth a little. No sense forgetting the little people who put you where you are. Time to be fair with your old pal Lou.
And supposing I decide not to be fair?
You don't want to disappoint me, Barry. What you want to do is meet me tonight and find out how you can get me out of your hair for good.
I'm busy tonight.
How about coffee? My treat.
I've already made plans.
Aw, change the plans, Bear. Be flexible for old Lou. Jenny's restaurant, 6 o'clock. We'll get an early start. That way you'll still have the rest of the evening free for your lovely family. Jenny's. Got it?
Jonathan, are you mocking this assignment?
No, sir. Honest.
Jonathan, this is a science class, and we know that miracles are a matter of faith.
I'll prove it, Mr. Benefusio.
Go ahead, preacher boy.
Okay, Rusty, you just used up your last chance. Head to the principal's office.
But...
Nothing to discuss, Rusty.
Hey, Park, when I'm finished with you, they'll need a miracle to put you back together.
Goodbye, Rusty. All right, Jonathan. I guess I'll just go along with this until we see your demonstration.
Well, this isn't an ordinary lizard. This is a chameleon.
I see.
I brought two different terrariums with me. One with a lot of brown leaves, and the other with a lot of green grass.
Okay, Jonathan, bring it all up here. Thad, maybe you could carry one of his terrariums. They look really heavy.
Hey, I used to have one of those.
Well, that's nice, Elizabeth. Okay, Jonathan.
The lizard is green right now because he's in the grass terrarium. He has the ability to change color to match his surroundings. That way, he blends in, and his predators can't find him. Now I'm taking him out and putting him into the cage with the brown background.
Very good, Jonathan. You arranged it so that the class can watch it change color before our eyes.
It'll take him a few minutes to change.
Well, while he does, maybe you can explain why you call this a miracle.
Well, sir, I don't think there's really a scientific explanation.
Excuse me?
Come in, Rusty. I'll be with you in a second.
Yes, Mr. Fitz.
Marge, call my wife and tell her that I need to meet with Superintendent Brussel tonight. I'll be home as soon as my meeting is over.
Yes, sir.
Well, what seems to be the trouble, Rusty?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, you must have done something.
I didn't do nothing.
Rusty, let me explain to you how this works. I ask you questions, and you answer me. Otherwise, you'll be here on Saturday, too. I have a pile of work to do on Saturday, and I'd love to have some company.
I was talking, that's all.
Must have been quite a conversation. What were you talking about exactly?
I don't remember.
Tell you what, I've got a good book on refreshing the memory. I'll let you read it on Saturday, and it'll help you pass the time.
Okay, okay.
Ready to let me in on your little secret?
Yeah, all right.
There certainly is a scientific explanation, Jonathan, and as part of your assignment, you were supposed to tell us what it is. You can't just bring a pet into the class.
I know the explanation, sir, but I think it only sort of explains it.
Tell us the explanation first, and then we can discuss it.
Well, it's kind of like Rusty's tadpole. I mean, just like the DNA code of a tadpole allows it to change into a frog, the DNA code of a chameleon gives it a special kind of skin pigment that allows color changes for the sake of survival.
Well put, Jonathan. And very interesting, but hardly a miracle.
What? Well, sir, I think it's a miracle because there's no explanation apart from God.
Always back to God with you. But you just gave us a good explanation.
Well, we don't know how the DNA actually works. We know that the lizard has it, and we know what it does, but we can't explain why the DNA programs it for protection. Not without God, we can't. A program needs a programmer.
I know your beliefs about God, and you know my beliefs about bringing that up in a science class.
Yes, sir.
Hey, he did it! He turned brown!
What a day!
No kidding, Thad. I'm just glad it's over.
Sounds like I missed a lot of excitement today.
You're lucky you're homeschooled.
Well, I'm glad your dad's been doing so much work on our ranch. He's really nice to bring me back with him once in a while, especially when I need to use your school library.
Yeah, well, you may have picked a bad day to walk home with us, Jesse.
Come on, Thad. You're starting to sound like my mother.
Hey, I'm warning you, buddy. You need to watch it. I mean, Rusty's twice your size.
So?
I'm telling you, I've seen him fight.
Jonathan Park, are you paying attention?
Rusty doesn't scare me.
Yeah, but he had to see Mr. Phipps on account of you. That might make him hate you even more. I mean, Mr. Phipps is mean.
Maybe Rusty just needs a friend. Jonathan, he's not a Christian. Maybe this is your chance to show him what a Christian is like.
Hey, there he is! And it looks like he's hassling Eddie. Come on, let's go!
I didn't bother you in class, so leave me alone!
Don't walk away from me. I already looked for your little friend, and I couldn't find him, so I'm giving the message to you instead.
Get your hands off him!
Hey, Park! We were just talking about you.
Well, here I am.
Hey, chill out, buddy. Jesse's getting the yard duty teacher. You could get in trouble.
Oh, got your little friend a narc on me, eh?
That's enough, Rusty.
Says who?
Stop that at once!
You're lucky. In another second, I'd have pounded you.
Rusty, you better come with me to the office.
I was just at the office.
This way, Rusty.
Now I'm gonna get detention again on Saturday.
Let's get out of here before something else happens.
Thank you, Mr. Benefusio. I promised to have a talk with my son.
Well, don't be too hard on him. He seems
seem to have good intentions. If you could just learn to talk about religion just a little bit less, our class sessions would run more smoothly, that's all.
Well, Jonathan gets that from me, I'm afraid. It's nothing personal, but I do find myself wishing that our public schools would show both sides in the field of science.
Both sides of what? I know you're a scientist, Dr. Park. Surely you're not suggesting that I get up and read the book of Genesis out loud.
Not at all. But creation can be defended in other ways, with objective data from paleontology and archaeology.
That I'd like to see.
I'd be happy to come in as a guest speaker anytime you want, Mr. Benefusio.
Now, just a minute. You must know that I can't allow religion in the public school.
I could do this without even mentioning religion.
Creation without religion? How?
Well, for starters, I need to establish that creation scientists actually point to observable facts when they make their arguments.
If you can keep religion out of it, you're on.
Misunderstand me, son. Mr. Benefusio loved your experiment.
Yeah, I know. Seemed like a good way to go on and talk about creation.
And it's very good to share your faith. But we also need to be respectful of others. Well, don't you agree, Benjamin?
Absolutely. And through this, God has been working. Just imagine, Jonathan, your dad is now going to be teaching your classmates about creation.
Really?
That's right. I just talked to Mr. Benefusio. Although he said there'd be some rules. I'm not allowed to mention the Bible.
That's going to be hard.
I gave my word.
I have a feeling the Bible is still going to come up.
Well, it probably will. Skeptics generally bring the Bible up by themselves when creation is discussed.
Say, speaking of the Bible, I think it has some good advice about the whole situation. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." A Jonathan's presentation was used by God to bring Kendall into the class.
Grandpa, are all things going to work together with that bully who's been picking on everyone?
Oh, I believe you've been making the situation worse, Jonathan. Kendall, Jonathan was egging Rusty on in class.
You were, son?
Well, I guess.
That's not like you.
But, Dad, if you could just meet this Rusty.
Listen, I know you think of this kid as the enemy, but has it occurred to you that Rusty may just be lonely? This is his first year at a new school.
Well, maybe if he was nicer, he'd make friends easier.
Jonathan, you're a Christian. You're the one to set the example. Don't you remember the verse we looked at during family devotions last week?
I know.
Well, let me hear it then.
"But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Matthew chapter 5, verse 44.
Well, you've memorized it all right. But the hard part is applying it.
It is hard, Mom, but other parts of the Bible are easier to obey. I don't mind the part about loving people. Most people, that is.
Jonathan, it's easy to love somebody lovable, but God tells us to love our enemies because Jesus wants us to forgive our enemies.
Rusty probably isn't hearing about God at his house, and you and your friends may be the only Christian witness he has.
And remember, Jonathan, Rusty thinks you're his enemy and is just as bothered by the things you've done and said.
But, Mom, he...
Now, don't tell me that he started this, because it doesn't matter. Sin is sin. Jesus forgave your sins, and he wants to do the same for Rusty. Now, promise me you'll be nicer to him.
You're right, Mom. I'll try. But Rusty's so mad at me, I just hope I don't get hurt while I'm being nicer.
Well, kids, hasn't Dr. Park shared some pretty interesting things with us so far?
Yeah.
All right, let's review. Somebody explain to me microevolution. Yes.
If colored rabbits were seen by wolves in the snow more easily than white rabbits, after a while, only the white rabbits would survive and their children would be white.
Yes, that's microevolution, or what we all know as adaptation. Macroevolution means that one kind of animal changed into another, like dinosaurs turning into birds, but we've never seen that happen. And what kind of evolution do we observe? We see microevolution. We see different kinds of dogs and different kinds of cats, but we don't see a dog evolve into a cat. You see, evolution from one species to another has never been proven. Yes, Elizabeth?
But we didn't see God make the world either.
That's true.
And we don't see God at all, so God can't be proven.
Well, science does give us evidence for God. Most of what we call facts in life are brought to us on the basis of evidence, not personal experience. For example, how many of you have ever been to Australia? Raise your hands. None of you? None of you can prove that Australia exists. But then again, the evidence for Australia's existence is so enormous and so obvious that we accept it.
But we have no eyewitnesses who saw God create the earth.
Well, we have the witness of nature itself. Rusty, I hear you did a report on a tadpole. Isn't it incredible that the genetic code of a frog existed in there ahead of time? Isn't it amazing that living creatures have something inside of them that can adapt and survive?
Uh-huh, yeah.
There are too many stories in the Bible that a scientist cannot take seriously.
Well, like what?
Such as the very first one. Surely you're not going to defend the story of Adam and Eve living immortally in the Garden of Eden.
Most definitely. Evidence from archaeology.
Oh, really now, Dr. Park? But we are out of time today.
Aww.
Maybe we can prevail upon Dr. Park to come back sometime.
Yes.
Well, I can do better than that. There's a finding from the ancient civilization of Nineveh which offers evidence from the biblical account of creation. This artifact has been in a British museum for years and is presently being toured in America. Kids, how would you like to take a field trip to our own Santa Fe Museum of Ancient Art to see this special clue from Nineveh?
Yes!
Mr. Beneficio?
Please, Mr. Beneficio?
Well, maybe. We'll have to see.
Lou Phipps here.
Just what's going on at your school, old pal Lou? I've spoken with two parents today.
Really? They act like the Gestapo is going to take over the country if the word God gets mentioned in the classroom. It all seems rather harmless to me.
And how harmless will it be if the school district gets sued?
Ah, worried that if the plaintiff takes too careful of a look, they'll find out about your sloppy bookkeeping. Yes?
Mr. Beneficio is here.
Send him in. Well, the culprit just arrived.
What?
Never mind. I'll take care of this, Barry. Nothing to worry about. Come in, Mr. Beneficio. Come in.
Good morning.
Have a seat, please. I understand there's been a lot of excitement in your classroom lately.
I always try to make my classes exciting, sir.
Well then, maybe you'll explain the little circus that you brought into town last Tuesday.
It was hardly a circus, Mr. Phipps. He's a PhD, a vertebrate paleontologist.
I don't remember approving any paleontologist, vertebrate or otherwise.
I've brought in guests before. So have a lot of other teachers. And just last week, Mrs. Gardner had a mime speak to her drama class. I guess he didn't actually speak, but he performed.
I don't care about some mime who pretends to climb a wall. You are to first solicit approval. That if you ever bring religion into a classroom again, you better just be ready to transfer into the ministry.
Sir, if you'll permit me to...
That will be all, Mr. Beneficio.
But if I could just...
I said that will be all, Mr. Beneficio.
Dad!
Are you sure you're not going to get in trouble for this, Mr. Beneficio?
No, you were on the phone.
Well, this is a voluntary field trip, not on school time. So what can Principal Phipps do?
A lot. Take it from one who's been in a similar situation. But I do admire your courage.
Well, I don't buy into this creation stuff. But your point about letting the kids hear both sides is something I can't get out of my mind.
I'll call Mr. Ash to tell him the trip is on. See you Saturday.
See you then.
Good news, son.
Yeah, I heard. Can I invite Jesse?
Of course. And then our whole family should spend some time in prayer. Your teacher's taking quite a risk.
As a parent, I want you to know that I understand, Mrs. Lassiter.
You said it wouldn't happen again, Mr. Phipps.
I did not approve a field trip. Well, your son didn't go with them, Mrs. Lassiter, so no harm has been done.
Of course my son didn't go. I wouldn't let him. And now he feels left out.
Well, I promise to get to the bottom of this. Mrs. Lassiter... Marge, give me directions to the Museum of Ancient Art.
Yes, sir. Also, Rusty Mitchell is out here waiting for you.
Oh, yeah. All right, send him in.
He's on his way.
I hear you're missing out on a field trip today.
I didn't even want to go.
Well, it seems we're both going to go.
Huh?
I can't leave you here. You're my responsibility for the day. Let's move it, Rusty. Doesn't your conscience ever bother you, Rusty?
I don't care.
Let me tell you a story. It's about a boy your age who belonged to a club that his friends had started. One day, just by accident, he found out that the club president had been keeping some of the membership dues for himself after they had been collected. This other kid, he finds out about it, see?
What did he do when he found out?
He made the president pay him some money to keep quiet.
Really? Wow.
Well, he wasn't proud of himself, Rusty. His conscience bothered him a lot.
Why didn't he just give the money back?
Well, that sounds really easy, doesn't it? It started out as greed, and it turned into fear. Then, because he was afraid to do the right thing, he had to lie to himself and pretend he was doing the right thing. Because of all the expenses and needs of his family.
His family?
Well, not his family. Look, just try to get the point I'm making, Rusty. Do you understand? Sometimes people lie, even to themselves, because otherwise the conscience inside would be too painful.
Is this a true story, Mr. Phipps?
Yeah, it's true.
Children, let's remember to keep quiet. After all, this is a museum. I'm sorry, Dr. Park. Please continue.
Okay, everyone. Let's take a look at this display right here. Now, this cylinder is made of greenstone. Now, the carving on the greenstone is called a seal. Seals actually depicted stories and events in the ancient world. It was their way of recording history. Now, who wants to describe it for us? Okay, what's that in the center? You.
A tree.
Right. And to the right of the tree?
A man.
Yes. And to the left? Eddie.
A woman.
Now, what's she doing?
Plucking fruit.
What's that standing behind the woman?
It looks like a snake.
So this is a picture of the Garden of Eden story.
Yes, son. Or more correctly, this is evidence that it is more than just a story.
Why do you say that, Dr. Park?
Well, if the Bible is really true, then all nations and people descended from Adam and Eve. The history of these events would be handed down by each nation. Some of the details might have changed, but the basic story would remain the same. While the Old Testament story tells the story of Eden, this seal came from another people group and tells the same basic story.
Is this the only evidence?
Of course not. There's other evidence, such as the Sumerian account of the land of Dilmun. I brought a copy of that. A translation to read out loud, but I accidentally left it in my car.
Want me to get it for you, Dad?
If you don't mind, here are the keys.
You can take your guest, Jesse, with you if you want to, Jonathan.
Thanks. Come on, Jesse. Wasn't that cool?
Okay,
looking?
Well, to continue, I'll tell you in my own words about the Sumerian account. It describes Dilmun as a land of perfection, a place where lions and wolves didn't kill, a place where there was...
Okay, Rusty, help me look for them. They're somewhere in this museum.
Hey, Mr. Phipps, I thought I just saw Jonathan Park going toward those stairs with his friend.
Well, the lady at the front counter said Benefucio's class was down at the end of this hall.
Can I go check real fast? The class might have moved.
Well, make it quick. I'll keep heading down the hall. Meet me there in 2 minutes sharp. Understood?
Hello, Mr. Science. Remember me?
Rusty! You're supposed to be at the principal's office.
Mr. Phipps is here to stop this field trip.
Look, Rusty. We've both been needling each other, and it's wrong. I'm willing to stop. I'm also willing to ask forgiveness for the wrong things I've done.
Man, you're even more spineless than I thought. How about if I pick on your little friend?
Leave her alone!
How about if I pull her hair?
Ow! Get away from me!
I said leave her alone!
Make me!
Rusty, stop!
Now, could it be that the world was once a perfect place that was invaded by evil and death? You know, Genesis explains all of this. It teaches us that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, paradise was indeed invaded by evil. It fits perfectly with the Bible.
Wouldn't God be cruel to allow evil to overcome this world?
Well, he gives us a road back to paradise. Forgiveness through his son, Jesus.
Dr. Park! One of your kids is in trouble!
Excuse me?
Come with me! Your son's fallen over the railing!
Thank goodness you saw us, Mr. Phipps!
Rusty, you decided to help?
At first he ran away, but then he came back!
I think I'm gonna fall!
I can't hold on much longer, Mr. Phipps!
Try, Rusty! If you can just pull him a little higher, I'll grab Jonathan and pull him up the rest of the way myself.
Rusty, I'm slipping.
Rusty, hold tighter.
I can't hold him anymore. I can't.
I got him.
Jonathan, you made it.
It was close.
Oh, Mr. Phipps, I'm very much in your debt.
Oh, forget it.
Well, if it makes any difference, Park, I didn't mean to knock you over.
Thanks, Rusty. And you too, Mr. Phipps. I think you're a nice principal.
Jonathan, let's just say I'm a nicer principal today than I was yesterday.
Sounds like you had quite an adventure in the museum.
Oh, it was. But that's not why I'm calling.
All right, Lou. What's the catch?
No catch. I'm giving you back every cent I blackmailed you out of.
Yeah, all right. And the other money?
Other money? Oh, you mean the money you stole? Relax, Barry. I'm giving that back, too.
What do you mean you're giving it back?
I mean that I'm making a special donation to the school district.
And just what do you hope to accomplish?
That I'll be able to look at myself in the mirror again.
But you don't have that kind of income. How can you afford to...
Well, you can help me out if you want. Otherwise, I'll take out a loan. Now, I can't promise what will happen if they ever take a closer look at our books. However, in the meantime, you won't have any trouble from me.
Lou? Seriously, what happened?
Somebody called me a nice principal. I like the sound of that, but it was a title I wasn't living up to. That comment helped me get reacquainted with my conscience. I even started thinking about God.
Don't tell me you become religious.
Tell Grandpa, Dad.
Principal Phipps is going to overlook the museum incident.
I've talked with Mr. Phipps a couple of times at school. He seems like a different person.
I just wish Rusty were a different person.
Well, Jonathan, now what do you think about God's command to love your enemies? Can you see the good that came out of obeying God, even when you didn't completely understand?
And it may affect Rusty someday, too. His story isn't over yet. Some seeds have been planted.
Jonathan, thanks for watching out for me in the museum.
No problem, Jess. That's what friends are for.
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Clue from Nineveh. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Park and Brennan families accidentally stumble across a plot to steal a priceless painting in Jonathan Park and the Art Heist Adventure.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.